Bible!
You're in Braves country.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you're doing better than I am. I just went on a whole tirade talking about baseball and whatnot. 20 minutes in, realized we hadn't started recording. So anyways, here we go. So used to doing these things live. Anyways, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Pitchers and Catchers Report. I know we normally do these on Thursdays, but we flipped the script a little bit. If you're listening to this on WQEE on Thursday, realize that the pitchers and catchers won't actually start pitching until Thursday. But they're expected to report today. Some of them might get out there and toss a little bit, but there's not anything really scheduled for Wednesday the 14th. It's Thursday the 15th that most people are out there, most teams are out there actually tossing around. So the games will begin. After a long winter's nap, we'll get spring training games rolling next week. In fact, there's... I want to say the Dodgers and Padres actually play next Thursday. And then there's a few games on Friday, and the Braves begin their spring training on Saturday, February 24th. 105 versus the Tampa Bay Rays. And as of right now, it is not scheduled to be broadcasted. Doesn't look like the Braves are going to, on the Braves Bally, that they're going to televise many games. They're going to get a handful at the very end. Well, I say handful, it's more like three or four. At the very end of spring training, essentially the last week, they said that they were going to broadcast about three or four, putting the new television play-by-play and the new television color commentator together. Brandon Gowden, who began last year, and then CJ Nikowski, I believe is how he pronounces it, ex-MLB pitcher, pitched briefly here, but had a long career, and he was with the Texas Rangers for the last several years, but he lives in the Atlanta area, and so that's why he wanted to essentially come home. So people wonder, you know, why is he leaving the Rangers to come to the Braves, essentially a lateral move. It's not that he had this big tie to the Braves, per se. He talks about how he really enjoyed his time with the Rangers. It's more the fact that they have a house in the Atlanta area, and he, I guess, had no plans to ever buy one in Texas. He wanted to stay in the Georgia area. And he was essentially gone for the, what, 6-7 months out of the year. So now, instead, he'll only be gone for the home game. So you can understand why he did that, and wish him good luck. We have been looking at the broadcast schedule for other teams. So we're still waiting for some things to come out. I don't know why it's taking so long this time. This time last year, I went back to look at my notes because I was wondering, I couldn't remember it ever taking this long for them to announce spring training games broadcast. They still haven't officially put it out for the Braves, but we have picked up on who they're broadcasting, which is essentially it's the last calendar week of the spring training where they're going to play the, I think we're going to try to do the Yankees game, which is a Thursday. But they're doing it the same days that the Dodgers and Padres are beginning the MLB season, the real MLB season, not the spring training. And so the Dodgers and Padres are starting the season, a two-game series that we all know Major League Baseball has done this before over in Seoul, Korea. They've done it over in Japan and whatnot. It's been rare, but they do it from time to time. Feels like once every 5 years is what it feels like that it happens. But they're doing those games on the 20th and the 21st, which is a Wednesday and a Thursday. And that's right before the season begins. It's a week before the season begins. Wednesday, March 20th, and Thursday, March 21st. Opening day for the rest of Major League Baseball is the following Thursday on March 28th. Well, we are going to bring you those games on the 20th and the 21st. A lot of people can't see them. They're interested in them. So we are going to bring them to you pitch by pitch, play by play here on Braves Country Radio. It's going to be a 6:05 first pitch, and that's in the AM. 6:05 AM Eastern, Wednesday and Thursday, we will bring it to you. If you miss the game, don't worry about it. You can wake up and listen to it whenever. Obviously, if it's on our Braves Country Radio YouTube channel, you'll be able to see it. And with that, you're also going to be able to hear it on WQEE later on that afternoon. So there you have that. The plan is right now, assuming that that's who they're broadcasting, we'll probably bring that Thursday Yankee game to you for the Braves because it's a little later in the day. Give me time to kind of rest the vocal pipes and get right back to it. But before we get into the rest of the broadcast schedule that we know right now, if you see on the screen, if you're watching on Braves Country Radio, you'll notice that there is a big, big difference between, and the reason why we're talking about this has absolutely been trending. People are ticked off about the Atlanta Braves, Major League Baseball, new uniforms. Now, it used to be manufactured by Nike. This year, it's going to be manufactured by Fanatics. They haven't been clear on whether or not there's going to be a swoosh or not still on there. The Nike swoosh doesn't matter. What matters is it could still have the Nike brand because some of the teams may differ is what they were saying in one of the reports. But doesn't matter. What matters is Fanatics is now the one manufacturing them. And if you're wondering what the big deal is and you can't see the screen, the best way I can say to you is the new one. What we don't know is this what they're going to be wearing on the field, or is this just the version that they're going to be selling to the fans? Regardless, I would say there's no real reason to buy this if you already have a Braves jersey. Because the white Braves jerseys, the home jerseys, it always looked very, very crisp and clean and popped. In fact, we've got a clip somewhere where we do these clips that we've become known for. By the way, we've really stepped those up this year. We've got a lot more good content that I think a lot of y'all will appreciate. When we go to commercial breaks, we're always known for the funny clips, and we have really been working hard. When I say we, I'm talking to myself because I have been doing this nonstop during the off season. But I know a lot of people enjoy it, and so it's worth it to bring it to y'all. But one of our clips, our older clips, they're at a function. I think it was actually in Houston, but they asked ex-big leaguers what was their favorite jersey that they liked, that they saw. And one of the guys mentions at some point, he says, the Braves home whites. And I remember him, one of his specific things was, what are those, like HD white? I never thought about it. Then you go back and look. And you're like, you know what? He's got a point. These are like HD whites. So now they look dingy. And the best way I can explain to you, if you can't see the screen right now, is that they look like the ones that they tried to push over on everybody several years ago. They called it an alternate jersey. I want to say just before we got the For the A jerseys that they rock now on Saturday nights. I want to say they were either wearing them on Saturdays, and it might have been Fridays. I don't know. It's moved around over the years. At one point, we were always Friday night Reds, and now it goes back and forth. You basically just wait for the update. But with that being said, you're looking at this, and you see the old jersey is white. It's crisp. It pops off. It makes all the other colors pop because it's such a bright jersey. And now the new one looks dingy. It looks almost yellow or an off-white. Not quite a taupe, even more off than that. I don't think Braves fans are going to be happy with them. When we heard about it during the offseason, what everybody kept talking about, and if you're looking here and you see the stripe here, the older jerseys never really had a stripe. Well, the new ones do. Now, what I'm wearing is an alternate spring training jersey that they wore. They wore it at a game that I went to, and that's why I ended up getting it. That's the short of it. But this is not typically what they would wear on the field during the regular season. And people didn't like the stripes, and that's what they were focusing on during the offseason. But I don't think anyone really put it together side by side and realized that the new ones look dingier. They look almost yellow. They almost look like a smoker's stained teeth, right? A lot of them, you can't tell that they're been stained by the smoke, but you can if you put them next to someone who has not. So that's what everyone's complaining about. And rightfully so. I look at it and I think to myself, I'm not buying this. I thought about buying myself a Chris Sale jersey this year. I'm not going to do it if it's going to be dingy. Maybe I buy the road jersey with the navy blue. But I don't want to buy a jersey that looks like it needs some Tide. It needs some bleach. You don't want to buy something that looks like it's already old. And that's what these look like. But anyways, we'll put that aside. I just felt like we had to mention it because it's been trending. I mean, people are ticked off about this. And I get it. My biggest suggestion to you is money talks and the BS runs. And if you don't buy them as a group, if you collectively don't buy them, it will jump out to Major League Baseball and they'll be like, we got to change it. That's how you change things. There are all kinds of stuff that come out with the new logos, not just for the Braves, but teams that I'm fans of outside of Major League Baseball. If I don't like it, I don't buy it because I'm like, I'm not going to encourage this junk. And I can remember growing up when I was a young kid, I was a Miami Dolphin fan. If I were still a Miami Dolphin fan, which I'm not because I moved away, it's a long story, but I wouldn't buy today's jersey because it looks like a cartoon is on there. I would only buy the old ones, the throwbacks as they're known now. I still have an old Merino one because the logo looked better. I know it's personal opinion, but it's just true. It looks better. The Florida State logo, the new one, I don't like it at all. Now, I say new, it's been around almost 10 years now, but the classic one looked like a drawing, just like the Dolphins one, looked like a work of art. The new ones, to me, look cartoonish. So if you don't like the Braves off-white jerseys, the new ones, don't buy them. They will get the message. And I would say encourage other people don't buy them. Say, hey, buy the blue ones. And you can still go back and get the older ones. People are going to have them available on eBay and whatnot. I'm sure there's still other stores, including Amazon, that you can get the old white ones. I just wish this would have happened after Chris Sale, because I was a Chris Sale fan before he came to the Braves, and I was thinking about getting a Sale jersey, but I'm not getting one, not that. Not to mention the fact, what you can't see, because we couldn't get a good comparison picture together, the back of the jerseys, you know, if you have a jersey of the Atlanta Braves, one of the authentic fan jerseys, not the worn on field jerseys, because those are charged to the roof. I'm talking about just your typical Braves jersey that you would buy off the rack. The names on the back are stitched in, embroidered. The new ones, now I have not seen one up close up, so I haven't been able to touch it. What it looks like, it looks like it's screen printed. And that just makes it look cheap again. Now the front appears to still be embroidered, but I'm not sure. It very well could be screen printed as well, but the backs are definitely screen printed. All right, we move on from that. Let's get into pitchers and catchers. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. Let's get into where we are with that, because the pitchers and catchers, now, if you're looking at the screen, you see the projection. That was the original projection. Put an asterisk by this. So the original projection is Spencer Strider, Max Fried, Chris Sale, Charlie Morton, Bryce Elder. Not necessarily in that order, but those are the four or five that they have on the screen. This was brought when they made this thing. It was a few weeks ago. But this morning, Mark Bowman of MLB, who covers the Braves, most of y'all are very familiar with him, he came out with an article predicting that it will not be Elder, that it will be Ronaldo Lopez. And he cites several different reasons, but one of the things you got to keep in mind is, A, he struggled down the stretch, so what does he look like this spring? B, he's got options, so you can move him back and forth. You can't do that with some of the other pitchers. You know Lopez is going to make the team. My God, they just paid him $30 million over the next 3 years, or 4 years. He's going to be on the team. But the thing that we don't know about Ronaldo Lopez, when they signed him, they said they're going to give him every opportunity to compete, starting pitcher, but he was not above going to the bullpen. More on that in a second, but so Bowman's predicting, and he's not saying this is in stone, this is just a prediction, that Elder starts off in the minors, and that Lopez is the number five starter. And you can bring Elder back up and down. Remember, Elder did this last year. He went to the minors, and then was brought up very quickly, and it worked out. Now some of these things don't work out. You think of the young guns that we had. Think about this time last year, or just a few weeks later, we were going into the season with Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster. And I couldn't understand it, because Bryce Elder was so darn good in the back half of the 2022 season. Well, Elder came up shortly after, and the rest is history. Pitched really well. First half of the season, pitched average to below average the rest, the back half of the season. I don't think it's because Major League Baseball's figured him out. I literally think he had fatigue. You know, he talked about the fact that, you know, what it takes to go out there every day, and you could tell it wore on. So, that's going to be the question. But a couple of guys that I want to keep in mind when we're talking about who could be the starting rotation, remember something. Ian Anderson is on his way back, but he's not expected to be ready till maybe middle of the season. Been doing this so long, I'm going to assume it's after the All-Star break. Because every time you hear about a pitcher, and it's not just the Braves, it's all organizations. Every time you hear a pitcher coming off a major surgery, and is being projected by somewhere like around May, maybe late June, it's going to be the All-Star break. The All-Star break is middle of July. I think it begins, I think July 15th, that Monday, is the first day of the break. And unless he is just absolutely killing it, we probably won't see him till after that. And we don't even know if we'll see him this year because Ian Anderson struggled so much the last time we saw him, but then again, he had injuries. So was that the reason? And we'll see what his velocity is coming back, etc. The other guy would be Waskari Noah. Waskari Noah is coming off a major injury himself. He should be ready to roll. But you could get him in the bullpen as well. And with the depth, with not just what we would consider the starting pitchers, but also guys that could be bullpen or starter, not just Ronaldo Lopez, but guys like Waskari Noah, do we see some bullpen games, and do they manage that up and down? And so you got to take all these things into consideration when you look at these guys. But the guy that I like the most, that I don't believe is going to break with the team, because I still think they're trying to manage his innings, the young man just turned 21 years old. He won't be 22 until after the season in November. AJ Smith-Shawver, or as we affectionately call him around here, the SSAJ. Also, realize you always need about, it's averaged out to about 11 starting pitchers for most teams to get through a season. Sometimes it's just a spot start here and there. Sometimes you need 5 starts out of a guy over the season. 6-7 starts. Sometimes just a couple, but remember these names because they are on the active roster right now. Alan Winans, who pitched pretty well. Darius Vines, who's not known to have blow-you-away stuff, but I do think he's a guy that can make... He's a guy, even if he doesn't carve himself into... I think at best with his stuff, he's a 4-5 starter long-term in Major League Baseball. But even if he isn't able to carve himself into the Atlanta Braves roster long-term over the next couple of years and find a starting position, he could be a trade. I mean, if we need something, he could be a very desirable trade option. Along with Alan Winans, although Alan Winans a little longer in the tooth, so you kind of lose the ability to trade guys like that because, first of all, we got him on the rebound. And normally, you're just trying to eat innings with them as long as you can. Alan Winans, this year, he will be later on this year, he'll be 29 years old. Darius Vines, shortly after the beginning of this season, late April, he will be, 26? Waskari Noah, same thing. He'll be 26 this year. Same age as Spencer Strider. So keep those guys in mind when we talk about the opportunities for the starting rotation. My prediction, or I'll put it this way, this is what I would prefer to see going forward. I want to see the SSAJ in the starting rotation, but I concede the fact that they're probably not going to start him there. That they're probably going to worry about his overall innings, and they don't want him to hit a wall like the way Elder did. Because remember something in the minor league system, you don't pitch every fifth day. You pitch about once a week. And a lot of times they spread those out. So the way the new minor league schedule works is you typically play Wednesday to Sunday. This began coming out of the pandemic where they didn't want to do a lot of travel, trying to save some money. So typically you play Wednesday to Sunday. You're either at home or you're on the road. And you're literally pitching once a week. and guys are either a Wednesday guy, a Thursday guy, a Friday guy, that kind of thing. What is done quite a bit in the minor leagues is a guy might pitch Wednesday in week one and then doesn't pitch till Thursday or Friday in week two. And then week three, he pitches, we'll say Sunday. So he's gotten three starts in when if he had been a starter in the majors, he would have had about five in. And so they will play that because what they'll do from time to time, they'll either go to a bullpen game to give these guys an extra day of rest, or they will bring a guy up and then send him right back down from like double A, single A, whatever. And so it's easier to manipulate their pitches. And maybe we see SSAJ at the end of the season. Maybe we see him midway through. When you need a shot in the arm and you're like, all right, let's go. So I think that's very possible. But from the standpoint of the bullpen, Ronaldo Lopez's numbers are so much better in the bullpen than they have been as a starting pitcher. His velocity has been higher. His swing and miss rate has been higher. And if you're going to go out and sign a guy to a four-year deal worth about $30 million, I kind of expect you to want to put him in the best place possible. And remember, he's got the ability too down the road because, I mean, he's got upper 90s gas, y'all. If you haven't watched him much, I can tell you this, when we did the White Sox series last year, what jumped off the board to me was he's got the best damn arm in that organization, and I am including the man that everybody wanted. Remember, all we heard all up and down during the offseason as far as trades was, how are we going to make a trade for Dylan Cease? Ronaldo Lopez has better stuff than Dylan Cease. The difference is when you send him out there and people see him a second and a third time through the order, he normally gets banged. But he was phenomenal in the bullpen. So in my humble opinion, he'd be better off being in the Braves bullpen. It's very important to have a deep, strong bullpen. So give me Strider and Freed and Morton and Sale with Elder as my number five. I'd like to see Elder be given a shot. I really do think the guy, I mean, this guy was an all-star last year. I think he deserves an opportunity to come out the gate with the Braves in spring training heading into our first series against Philadelphia. But if they decide to go the other way, couple of things that you can look to on why they would go the other way. And one of them would be when you realize at the beginning of the season, very beginning of the Major League Baseball season, what always ends up happening, you get extra days off. You need more of that, of the depth later in the season. At the beginning of the season, what ends up happening is you get on the 28th, which is opening day, we play the Phillies. Then we have Friday off. On Saturday, we play the Phillies. Sunday, we play the Phillies. You flip it over to April, you have a three-game series at the White Sox, but you get another day off. So in theory, you don't need that fifth starter until we get to that second weekend where they're going to play the Diamondbacks, the Mets. So Diamondbacks for three, Mets for four, Marlins for three, and the Astros for three with no days off. But then you will get 2 days off over that next week. That will be off on Thursday, back-to-back weeks. So it can be manipulated through that. And if you decide that you want to take it easy on Elder to start it off and you don't want him to go, you could skip and you could go with a four-man rotation, because Thursday, I'm gonna say it's going to be Spencer Strider is going to get opening day. He's the guy they're leaning on going forward. He had the better year last year. He deserves to get opening day nod. If you remember when the Braves were doing, the big three, though everybody always believed Maddux was the guy, it always went to opening day nod, went to the guy who had the best year before. The year after Smoltz got the Cy Young, he got opening day. Same thing with Glavine. So I don't think just because you're not the opening starter, that doesn't mean you know that they're throwing any shade in your direction. But you can manipulate this where that first week, we'll just assume it's Strider on day one, Freed on Saturday, with Friday being off, and then Morton on Sunday, Sale on Monday, and you could go back to Strider on Tuesday on normal rest. Do they want to do that? The other thing you got to look at, two of the starters in the rotation are in their late 30s, and they're going to be trying, or mid-30s, Morton, Sale in his mid-30s, Morton in his late 30s, but Sale's had a lot of injury problems. Do you want to go out the gate doing that, or do you want to make sure everyone gets an extra day off? That's why I would prefer to break towards Philadelphia, coming out of camp with Elder on the roster, and give me the ability to use Lopez out of the bullpen. Going past that, with the idea that you could have some of these other guys that I just mentioned get spot starts throughout the year, let's look at the bullpen. Let's say we do put Elder at the five spot. Where do we go from there? So that gives me Ronaldo Lopez, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez, and Iglesias as my four right-handers out of the bullpen, Iglesias obviously being the closer. And then I would be picking between Jackson Stevens and Deisbal Hernandez. So if that is the case, my guess is it would be Hernandez, because they're really big on Hernandez. But I love everything that Jackson Stevens has done for the Braves. So it's hard for me to handicap it right now till we see them in the spring. But I'm just going to go with the assumption that it's Deisbal in the lead at the clubhouse. One thing that you have to keep in mind is these guys get nagging injuries in the spring. Some guys aren't ready to roll. Some guys aren't pitching well. So some of these guys could end up on the IL. You just never know. But if you figure they're going to go with five righties in a perfect world, and then gives you the three lefties of Minter, Tyler Matzek, should be back. Hopefully he's ready to rock, and Aaron Bummer. But remember, we still have other guys, two other big lefties that are going to be vying for a spot. May not break with the team, but could very well play big roles this year in Ray Kerr, who's a big arm from the left-hand side. He has struggled with control. And then, of course, Dylan Lee. And we all know Dylan Lee. And then real quick, let's look at the lineup and what the bench may look like. We'll get more into this on Braves Country Today next time. But let's look at what the lineup probably is. And I believe the lineup will look a lot like last year, but I do want to tweak it. Acuna leading off, Ozzie hitting second, Riley third, and Olson fourth, with Marcell Ozuna batting fifth. That worked to perfection once we went to that. But now the question is, who's your number six hitter? And I think Michael Harris II has earned the right to be there. The only reason why they would not do that is if they want to keep him down at number nine, so you almost are flipping the roster over again. And if that happens, then scratch what I'm proposing here. They would probably put, just because you want the lefty there, you'd probably put Jared Kelenic at that spot. But I propose Harris should be there. Then we get the catcher batting seventh. Whether it's Sean Murphy or Travis d'Arnaud, they struggled in the back half of the season. So it's why I don't have them up higher. But that's not really the number one concern when you have a guy behind home plate of his offensive production. But these guys still, look, from the catching standpoint, we still have, I will take our catching situation over anybody's in baseball. And look, I know how good JT Realmuto is. I understand that. There's a couple other guys you can get there. We can argue out that forever. But I love the fact that we've got two damn good catchers. And you can go back and forth. You don't miss anything if the other one is playing. And d'Arnaud, who is getting a little longer in the tooth, you know, this very well could be his last year. Maybe he's back for one more year. But, look, you can't catch forever. It really takes a toll on the body. I suspect this year we're going to see a much bigger portion of Sean Murphy playing. But it won't be drastic. So as opposed to, because remember last year it felt like it's pretty much every other day. If Murphy was in the lineup today, you knew d'Arnaud was going to be in the lineup tomorrow, barring injury or, you know, whatever. I think you're more likely to see not quite two out of every three, but somewhere close to that. I think you'll get very close to, well, we'll just say two out of three. We'll just say that Murphy catches 100 games and d'Arnaud catches the other 62. Somewhere in that neighborhood. That's what I would suspect. Obviously, day game following a night game, that's when you're obviously going to see the platoon. But you're just going to see the platoon. It's just going to happen. And then after the catching position at 7, I still contend leave RC at 8. He's not a great runner. He's got some pop. And then you put Kelenic down at the 9 spot. And if he's at the 9 spot as a left-hander with Acuña on deck, you could really see him take off. And you take all the pressure off of Jared coming over. Because, every guy that comes over to trade, he wants to be the big guy. He wants to be the man. But let him ease into it. I don't really have a problem with flip-flopping Kelenic and Harris. But I don't know where Harris's head is. And I feel like he has earned the right to move up in the lineup a little bit, get a few more at-bats this year. But play the hot hand. If Kelenic is playing better, comes out hot, no problem with him going to number 6. Because I do want to make sure whoever's hitting in the 6th spot is forcing the opposing pitcher to pitch to Ozuna to where we don't get a situation they're like, just walk him, dude. Marcel is just, he's smoking the ball. As far as the bench goes, my best guess would be Luis Guillorme and David Fletcher. Remember, Fletcher can play the outfield. Now, he is more known for playing the infield, but at the same token, so you've got Guillorme who can play. He can play second base, but you're kind of better off having him play the corners. And as far as Fletcher goes, he can play anywhere in the outfield realistically, but we're mainly talking about left field. And he can definitely play. I mean, he can pick it at second and short. So you're talking about Guillorme, Fletcher. So we've pretty much given you the 13 pitchers. You got the 9 hitters, or 10 because of the catcher. And so you're really talking about a three-man bench if you're not referring to the catcher who's not playing. So you got Guillorme, you got Fletcher. So the big question this spring is what outfielder is going to grab that last spot? Bowman's predicting it's Eli White. I kind of agree. He gives you speed. He's a right-handed bat, which is crucial considering the fact that your center fielder and your left fielder, your starters, are hit from the left side. And if a nasty lefty comes in, gives you the ability to go to White, who can play anywhere in the outfield. Incredible speed, incredible base runner. I do think there's going to be an opportunity for Forrest Wall. But he's a lefty, and he's really there for base running, and he could just end up on the September roster and once again on the playoff roster. Do not forget about two other guys. There's Jordan Luplo, who is still in the mix. He's back. And then J.P. Martinez, who they made the trade for. But once again, he's a lefty. And I don't love the idea of having all these left-handed bats, and you don't really have – I mean, in theory, you could pinch hit Fletcher and then go sit any outfielder out there for defense. But you would love to have the flexibility of whoever comes in and pinch hits, goes play defense, and you don't burn two guys. Granted, with the designated hitter, it's not as important, but you don't love the idea of burning two guys for one at bat in the seventh inning. So there you have that. Going to get out of your hair. Y'all have a great one. Pitchers and catchers, don't forget it being Valentine's. And if you're hearing this tomorrow on radio, well, you've already forgotten, so you better stop off at the store on the way home. We'll see you, y'all. Have a great one. Cannot wait for the first game. And real quick on that, the games that I do know that we have, like I said, we'll continue to add these and we'll announce them. February 28th, Phillies versus the Phillies. It is a Wednesday game, Braves Country Radio, live right here at 1 p.m. March 7th, which is the following Thursday, following week on Thursday, versus the Red Sox. It's a 1 p.m. Then March 16th, as of right now, it looks like Atlanta's not doing a broadcast of it, but Boston is. So we're going to bring you what they're calling the spring breakout game. And what is exciting about that game is that it is going to be the top prospects of the Atlanta Braves organization versus the top prospects of the Boston Red Sox organization. The entire Major League Baseball is doing this that weekend. I think half of them are on Friday and half of them are on Saturday is how they're doing it. But they're doing it to showcase the young players. I think it's a great idea. And it gives the it kind of sucks they're doing it so in the middle of the day. I mean, in the middle of the spring training schedule. I'd prefer them to do it at the very end or at the very beginning. But they're doing it in the middle, and it is what it is. So Saturday, March 16th, spring breakout game, we will have pitch-by-pitch, play-by-play right here. And then I do know that they're going to have the – it looks like we're going to bring you – the Thursday game against the Yankees on March 21st. That will be following Padres Dodgers. And then on top of that, they have hinted that March 25th is a game against Minnesota at 1 o'clock. I have to work that day, but I'm going to haul buns back here to try to get at least the last half of the game. But we'll continue to add. More teams are going to announce, and when they announce, the plan is to do several games. And if not, we may bring you other games because we're looking at alternative broadcasts if the Braves are not available, if they're not being televised. Because one of the problems is most of these teams are not traveling. A lot of it's got to do with the Bally's, was it Diamond Sports, bankruptcy. And so a lot of these teams are not traveling for spring training. And so you're not getting, and so if the Braves are at home, there's a very good chance that game's not being televised until the last week of the season when they're finally going to get the broadcast going. So we're at the mercy of the other teams, the other television crews and whatnot. And they would have to, basically, it would have to be a Braves road game is what it sounds like. All right, y'all have a great one. Enjoy your day and enjoy your loved ones. Make sure that they know that you care about them. That's what I'm trying to say. Good Lord. Shouldn't be that hard to talk sometimes, right? Have a good one, y'all.
You're in Braves country.